Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. And Kyle, for the second straight year, really good game with Georgia. For the second straight year, just didn't quite go the Tigers' way.
Yeah, I think you can reasonably say defensively you got everything you could have asked for.
Right.
Hold a Georgia team that's averaging over 40 points per game coming into 30. Offensively, it didn't quite capitalize the way you needed to in a lot of cases. But you had the ball with a chance to drive to take the lead with under 8 minutes to play.
Right.
And I think if you're entering any game against Georgia and you go in and say you're going to have the ball with eight or ten minutes left,
exactly,
with a chance to take the lead, you're going to take that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think, again, it's one of those where, you know, it just shows you with a team as good as Georgia how small the margin of error is, you know, from the standpoint of you go, okay, both of the last 2 years we came in saying they're going to have to play perfect to put themselves in a spot, and then they'll have to play perfect to win it. And gosh darn it, they kind of, again, put themselves in a position and did what they kind of needed to do to be right there. So, again, it's a very heartening loss. You know, there's some losses that are disheartening. This is a heartening loss.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously you're not going to be happy with a loss, but I think this is, you know, just about best-case scenario out of a loss. You look very good against the top team.
Yep. Like
there's a reason the college football playoff only dropped Mizzou two spots after
Correct.
A loss, you know, and after, like, if you take OU's loss to Oklahoma State, another close game, but OU dropped like eight spots.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of respect, I think, that Mizzou gained in a national game.
Sure.
Just keeping it as close as the Tigers did and giving themselves a chance.
Yeah, and I do feel like it's one of those where the kind of stats bear it out. Sometimes the stats are kind of tough to look at and go, that can be discounted or whatever. But, you know, you look at first downs were even. You know, they were both very good on third down conversions. They were both very good on fourth down conversions. So, you know, they were both perfect on red zone efficiency. You know, it's just that, you know, Missouri was 3 of 3 in red zone. They were 5 of 5 in red zone. So I think that's, just a few more chances in the red zone to put it on top. And then I think the one number that does look at it and you go, they have 0 turnovers. Missouri has 2. So that, to me, was the difference in the game. I mean, that's just flat out, that was the difference.
I mean, the second one was kind of like it was with LSU. The second one's kind of a little bit of a throwaway.
Sure. Right.
Just saying, like, hey, you're heaving it deep. You're down 2 scores
late. It's the byproduct of the situation. Yeah.
But you have the one real important one in both of those games. Right. I mean, that's oftentimes turnover margin is the difference in games between teams that are relatively evenly matched.
Right.
You know, it's hard to say Georgia is evenly matched with anybody
at
this point, except maybe, you know, like Ohio State or Michigan.
Right.
But, you know, you're on a relative scale here. You're close enough where, the turnover margin's probably going to be the difference.
And because those things happen late, there's that natural tendency to kind of fixate on those. But there was good stuff that happened before that. So,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of good things that Missouri did and can take away from this game.
Absolutely. I think defensively is the big one.
Sure.
We talked a lot throughout the first handful of weeks of the season about how the defense really wasn't impressing us yet.
Right.
Especially with how much the offense was impressing.
Mm-hmm.
The defense has been fantastic the last few games.
Yep.
I mean, like, they gave up the 2 touchdowns in the first quarter against Kentucky and then gave up 1 touchdown in the next 7 quarters.
Right.
And then you have the first 2 drives against Georgia go for touchdowns, and then you hold them to field goals the rest, I'm pretty sure the rest of the way, unless I'm misremembering, or at least mostly field goals the rest of the way. Just a fantastic game by the defense. It took a minute to get into the rhythm of the game. Those first 2 drives obviously make a pretty big difference when the game's that close.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't think you can watch how the defense performed after that and say anything, but that was a stellar game.
Absolutely. So again, we talk about it many times. It's once you get into league play, it's a little bit tougher. You know, it's no time to dwell, no time to kind of
no breaks.
You know, there isn't, and that bears out by the fact that you know we're just coming off a 2:30 p.m. game on CBS, and guess what? This week we got another 2:30 p.m. game on CBS. So
the country wants to see Mizzou.
Apparently they do, and I think again the matchup helps from the standpoint of you go, yeah, it's 14 versus 16. Tennis, number 14, Tennessee's coming to town, and I think again it's another one of those games where you go, okay, yeah, this is fun. We're in a stretch of games where you go, okay, yeah, this is what you want to be doing, is playing important games late in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you kind of get, you know, if you're looking at this point last year, I believe it was also back-to-back weeks, Georgia and Tennessee, and you play the very good game against Georgia with the close loss and then get blown out.
Right.
So you're hoping for a different outcome.
Yeah.
This year, I would say this Missouri team is in a significantly better position, of course, and offensively is going to be able to keep up with Tennessee much better.
Right. The tough part is you've got to guard against that. You really do.
Absolutely. Tennessee is an explosive offense.
Right.
And they just have been for a few years now. You were going to have to make some pretty big stops defensively, which if they play like they did against Georgia, I think they probably can.
Right.
So, and, you know, it'll be interesting. I think Tennessee's won the last four matchups.
I think that's correct.
To take the series lead by one.
Right.
So, you know, historically, in the very short 10-year series, but, you know, Missouri kind of built up a big lead and then Tennessee comes back and takes the last four to take the advantage.
It's got just kind of another added little bit of fun from the standpoint of, you know, you look at it just in terms of the, you know, SEC East implications. They both come in at 7-2 and 3-2. You know, right now they're in a tie for second place behind Georgia. So, and who's obviously clearly distancing themselves as they're now 6-0 in the division. But, you know, you're in kind of a logjam where these two teams are 3-2, and then, you know, Florida and Kentucky right behind them are both at 3-3. So it's kind of one of those where you look at it and go, yeah, it's just got so many things playing into it that it's a big game for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for at this point you're looking a lot at bowl implications. I think, like we talked about last week, not beating Georgia and thereby missing out on the SEC championship game has probably taken you out of the playoff conversation.
Right.
You were on the edge of it before, had to have a lot of things go your way to get in. I think you're pretty you know, first couple of teams out at this point at 14 in the playoff, but you're still in play for probably a pretty incredible bowl.
Well, I was going to say, the thing that's still in play, the biggest thing maybe of all, is there's a good chance this ends up being a 10-2 season. If you win this game, you got two winnable games after this, and all of a sudden you're staring down the barrel of a 10-2 year where we came in going, what's this year going to be? Is it going to be 500 and going to be a little bit better and be a little bit happier, a little bit less and be a little bit disappointing? All of a sudden, 10-2, I don't think anybody had that on their bingo card.
10-2, second in the East, maybe third overall in the conference.
Right.
I mean, that's a very, very good season that sets you up for a big-time bowl game that's going to, you know, put you in front of a lot of viewers.
Big-time recruiting dividends, which is what you really want to keep rolling.
Absolutely.
They've done a good job of that already without a season like this to hang their hat on. And all of a sudden, you go into recruiting going, hey, we were 10-2 and really good in the SEC. All of a sudden, who knows what that can do for you?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, success builds on success in college football, right? That's how you get better, is by being good.
Absolutely.
So you've got the opportunity this week to kind of get back on track and set yourself up for a pretty astoundingly successful season comparing with what we thought coming into the year.
So is the biggest key then just the slowing down that Tennessee offense and hoping to, again, have a score last week where you're looking at more of a 30-something to 20-something or 20-something to 20-something rather than a, you know, shootout like we had maybe with LSU?
Tennessee comes in with the number one rushing offense in the SEC, or possibly the country for the rushing offense. They're definitely the number one rushing defense in the SEC.
So if
you can kind of corral the stable of running backs that they've got there, who are, I think it's three guys who are all very good, and then the quarterback is also a rushing threat, which has been an issue.
Right.
if you can kind of keep those guys contained a bit and keep it, to the low 30s maybe, or mid 30s instead of up into the 40s, then you've given yourself probably a pretty good shot.
And I think that's the thing that kind of, to me, is a little bit more intriguing from the standpoint of, I think, again, it's been a pleasant surprise as much as the Tigers have been able to run this year with Cody Schrader. And I think in some ways it's maybe surprised a few of the teams they've played. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about that, where you're not, it's not like you're running against somebody's weakness. You're going strength on strength from that standpoint. Yeah. So from the standpoint where that has helped make Missouri super two-dimensional this year, all of a sudden I think that matchup becomes even more important, because if you can make Missouri one-dimensional, then all of a sudden the game's going to take on a whole different complexion.
I would say, I guess first off, we did see a bit more of the incorporation of Brady running again. Right. Last week, it seems like that bye week did help the legs get kind of back to a healthy point where he can be more of a focal point in the running game as well.
Right.
But we've seen, this offense operate pass heavy, mm-hmm. right, this year, and it's worked very well.
Sure.
So I would say that's probably going to be a bit more of the focus coming in a way that it hasn't really been the last couple of weeks. I think for a few games now, we've seen more of a running focus just in the general game plan.
Right.
Versus, what we saw in those first, weeks 3, 4, and then those first couple conference games. So if you kind of shift back into what the offense was doing at that point, I think you've probably set yourself up a little bit better against a team where, you might just be running into a brick wall if you're trying to force it the way...
Sure.
With the type of game plan that you've had the last couple of games.
Yeah. So we talked about last week, a little bit in terms of, hey, we were coming off a bye week and we got healthy. And then you come in and you want to have all hands on deck for Georgia. How did we come out of last week in terms of health-wise, and do we have enough of those hands still on deck for a big game against Tennessee?
The biggest overall note is Chad Bailey's out for the season. So a re-aggravation of the injury from the beginning of the year, from the summer, has now taken him out for the rest of the year. Chuck Hicks has been doing a pretty good job at that spot throughout the year. He's played most of the season with Bailey missing a significant amount of time. But looking more specifically at what happened last week, we saw Luther go down for a couple of plays. He was able to come back pretty quick, did not go to the tent.
which is a nice change of pace.
Very specifically. Like,
I'm not doing this again.
Yeah, made a move on the sideline to say, no,
right.
I'm not going back in the tent. I'm okay.
Right.
He's listed as questionable coming in. I would expect he's going to go.
Right.
And then Brady and Cody Schrader are listed as probable.
Okay.
I think that's kind of the big ones.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, too, it's bad news for Mizzou from the standpoint of, no, Tennessee didn't have a bye last week, but they basically had a bye last week. They went 59-3 against UConn, and were able to rest a lot of people. It sounded like we're dinged, so they're probably coming in much healthier after last week's game than Missouri's coming in after last week's game.
Yeah, UConn and Georgia are a little bit different.
Different ends of the spectrum.
Level of opponent
there.
Yeah. I mean, I would expect you're going to see Tennessee be relatively healthy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen their injury report, but
right.
I would expect anything that had been lingering previously is probably pretty good to go.
And I think the other thing that strikes, steps out at you from the standpoint of, if you're going to have a big game and you're going to have an important game to win, it's really nice to have this one at home today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that was probably the biggest factor in why last year's game ended the way it did, right? Because playing at Tennessee is just a vastly different environment.
Sure.
Coming off of a kind of heartbreaking loss.
Right.
I think coming back to Faurot Field, having that crowd environment, I believe it's another sellout, getting back in front of the home fans and everything, should help a lot in a way that, actively hurt last year.
Yeah. So I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you, do we take the next step towards a possible 10-2 season today?
I think so.
Okay.
I think Missouri gets back on track, and I'll say the Tigers win, 38-31.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McArravy, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArravy on Twitter at Kyle_McArravy. That's McArravy. Thanks for listening.